Welcome to the podcast for the weekend of December 10, 2023. This week we pray for our nation, that our leaders would make good decisions and that people around the world would seek to know the Lord and find peace and goodwill in Him. Our first reading is from Isaiah chapter 40. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The word of God stands forever. A voice says, cry. And I said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, when the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Go on up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Lift it up, fear not. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom, and gently lead those that are with young. Our next reading is from 2 Peter chapter 3. But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed, since all these things are thus to be dissolved. What sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn? But according to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Our next reading is from Mark chapter 1. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in Isaiah, the prophet, behold, I send my messenger before your face who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea and all Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist and ate locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, after me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Our next reading is from Leviticus chapter 13. The Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, when a person has on the skin of his body a swelling or an eruption or a spot, and it turns into a case of leprous disease on the skin of his body, then he shall be brought to Aaron the priest or to one of his sons the priests, and the priest shall examine the diseased area on the skin of his body, and if the hair in the diseased area has turned white and the disease appears to be deeper than the skin of his body, it is a case of leprous disease. When the priest has examined him, he shall pronounce him unclean. But If the spot is white in the skin of his body and appears no deeper than the skin, and the hair in it has not turned white, the priest shall shut up the diseased person for 7 days, and the priest shall examine him on the 7th day, and if in his eyes the disease is checked and the disease has not spread in the skin, then the priest shall shut him up for another 7 days. And the priest shall examine him again on the 7th day, and if the diseased area has faded, and the disease has not spread in the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him clean. It is only an eruption, and he shall wash his clothes and be clean. But if the eruption spreads in the skin after he has shown himself to the priest for his cleansing, he shall appear again before the priest, and the priest shall look. And if the eruption is spread in the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a leprous disease. When a man is afflicted with the leprous disease, he shall be brought to the priest, and the priest shall look. And if there is a white swelling in the skin that has turned the hair white, and there is raw flesh in the swelling, it is a chronic leprous disease in the skin of his body, and the priest shall pronounce him unclean. He shall not shut him up, for he is unclean. And if the leprous disease breaks out in the skin, so that the leprous disease covers all the skin of the diseased person from head to foot, so far as the priest can see, then the priest shall look, and if the leprous disease has covered all his body, he shall pronounce him clean of the disease. It has all turned white, and he is clean. But when raw flesh appears on him, he shall be unclean, and the priest shall examine the raw flesh and pronounce him unclean. Raw flesh is unclean, for it is a leprous disease. But if the raw flesh recovers and turns white again, then he shall come to the priest, and the priest shall examine him, and if the disease has turned white, then the priest shall pronounce the diseased person clean. He is clean. If there is in the skin of one's body a boil and it heals, and in the place of the boil there comes a white swelling or a reddish-white spot, then it shall be shown to the priest, and the priest shall look, and if it appears deeper than the skin and its hair has turned white, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a case of leprous disease that has broken out in the boil, but if the priest examines it, and there is no white hair in it, and it is not deeper than the skin, but is faded, then the priest shall shut him up 7 days, and if it spreads in the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a disease, but if the spot remains in one place and does not spread, it is the scar of the boil, and the priest shall pronounce him clean. Or when the body has a burn on its skin, and the raw flesh of the burn becomes a spot, reddish-white or white, the priest shall examine it. And if the hair in the spot has turned white and it appears deeper than the skin, then it is a leprous disease. It is broken out in the burn, and the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a case of leprous disease. But if the priest examines it, and there is no white hair in the spot, and it is no deeper than the skin, but has faded, the priest shall shut him up 7 days. And the priest shall examine him the 7th day. If it is spreading in the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a case of leprous disease. But if the spot remains in one place and does not spread in the skin but is faded, it is a swelling from the burn, and the priest shall pronounce him clean, for it is the scar of the burn. When a man or woman has a disease on the head or the beard, the priest shall examine the disease, and if it appears deeper than the skin and the hair in it is yellow and thin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is an itch, a leprous disease of the head or the beard. And if the priest examines the itching disease, and it appears no deeper than the skin, and there is no black hair in it, then the priest shall shut up the person with the itching disease for 7 days, and on the 7th day the priest shall examine the disease. If the itch has not spread, and there is in it no yellow hair, and the itch appears to be no deeper than the skin, then he shall shave himself, but the itch he shall not shave. And the priest shall shut up the person with the itching disease for another 7 days. And on the 7th day, the priest shall examine the itch. And if the itch has not spread in the skin and it appears to be no deeper than the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him clean, and he shall wash his clothes and be clean. But if the itch spreads in the skin after his cleansing, then the priest shall examine him, and if the itch has spread in the skin, the priest need not seek for the yellow hair, he is unclean. But if in his eyes the itch is unchanged, and black hair has grown in it, the itch is healed, and he is clean, and the priest shall pronounce him clean. When a man or a woman has spots on the skin of the body, white spots, the priest shall look, and if the spots on the skin of the body are of a dull white, it is leucoderma that has broken out in the skin, he is clean. If a man's hair falls out from his head, he is bald, he is clean. And if a man's hair falls out from his forehead, he has baldness of the forehead, he is clean. But if there is on the bald head or the bald forehead a reddish-white diseased area, it is a leprous disease breaking out on his bald head or his bald forehead. Then the priest shall examine him, and if the disease swelling is reddish-white on his bald head or on his bald forehead, like the appearance of leprous disease in the skin of the body, he is a leprous man, he is unclean. The priest must pronounce him unclean. His disease is on his head. The leprous person who has the disease shall wear torn clothes and let the hair of his head hang loose, and he shall cover his upper lip and cry out, "Unclean! Unclean!" He shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. When there is a case of leprous disease in a garment, whether a woolen or a linen garment, in warp or woof of linen or wool, or in a skin, or in anything made of skin, if the disease is greenish or reddish in the garment, or in the skin, or in the warp, or the woof, or in any article made of skin, it is a case of leprous disease, and it shall be shown to the priest, and the priest shall examine the disease, and shut up that which has the disease for 7 days. Then he shall examine the disease on the 7th day. If the disease has spread in the garment, in the warp or the woof, or in the skin, whatever be the use of the skin, the disease is a persistent leprous disease. It is unclean, and he shall burn the garment, or the warp or the woof, the wool or the linen, or any article made of skin that is diseased, for it is a persistent leprous disease. It shall be burned in the fire. And if the priest examines, and if the disease has not spread in the garment, in the warp or the woof, or in any article made of skin, then the priest shall command that they wash the thing in which is the disease, and he shall shut it up for another 7 days, and the priest shall examine the diseased thing after it has been washed, and if the appearance of the diseased area has not changed, though the disease has not spread, it is unclean. You shall burn it in the fire, whether the rot is on the back or on the front. But if the priest examines, and if the diseased area has faded after it has been washed, he shall tear it out of the garment, or the skin, or the warp, or the woof. Then, if it appears again in the garment, in the warp, or the woof, or in any article made of skin, it is spreading. You shall burn with fire whatever has the disease. But the garment, or the warp, or the woof, or any article made of skin from which the disease departs when you have washed it, shall then be washed a second time and be clean. This is the law for a case of leprous disease in a garment of wool or linen, either in the warp or the woof, or in any article made of skin, to determine whether it is clean or unclean. Christ is risen, he is risen indeed. Alleluia. Many of the greatest works of art in the world are located in fine art museums. To create art, you have to have leisure time, where you don't have to be working to survive, and talented and skilled artists could make a living from their work. When it comes down to it, a skilled artist might have a patron, someone who would pay for them to do their work and they could make a living from it. Art was often used to record important events, like the Bayeux Tapestry that recorded the Battle of Hastings, or the cave paintings and rock carvings of thousands of years ago that recorded great hunts and documented animals that are no longer in existence. In medieval times, it was the church that could really afford to pay a skilled artist. And so throughout Europe and into the West Asian part of the world, you can see works of art that were dedicated to Christ and Christian themes. When I visited Europe years ago, there's a well-known work of art that is to be found in Colmar, France. I likely never would have ever visited this place if the work wasn't to be found there. It is a scene of the crucifixion, the greatest masterpiece of an artist named Matthias Grunewald. The basic factual information you can find yourself at Wikipedia points out that the painting on the altarpiece was done by Matthias Grunewald from 1512 to 1516, being on display at the Unterlinden Museum at Colmar, Alsace, in France. It was commissioned for the monastery of St. Anthony in Isenheim, which is near Colmar, where the monks were known to care for those who suffered from the plague and a condition called ergotism. Ergotism was a condition that resulted from eating grain that had been infected with the fungus ergot, a fungus that is purple in color. And it was apparently a long-term condition brought on by continually eating of grain and its products that had had ergot. The ergot was a poison that could cause all kinds of misery, but certainly itching, gangrene, and psychosis, among other terrible things. The altarpiece is of the crucifixion of Christ and the part of the narrative where Christ is taken down from the cross. Not only do you see Christ suffering in the image, but his skin is a grayish-green hue, and it looks like he has a horrible skin condition. There are sores all over his skin. This was appropriate for a place where they treated skin diseases. The scene of Jesus' resurrection, also on this altarpiece, is glorious. He glows radiantly, and his skin is free of the sores and blemishes present in the crucifixion scene. This was meant to remind those who saw it of the hope they had in Christ Jesus and being completely free of the suffering of this life in the resurrection. If you've ever had a skin condition, if you've been stung or bitten or dealt with a skin allergy, if you've gotten into the thorns, poison ivy, poison oak, or the nettles, you have experienced some of the misery that comes with issues of the skin, with skin conditions. There are other folks that deal with eczema, psoriasis, cancers, and other continuous skin conditions. Your skin is the largest organ of your body. And if you have troubles with the skin, it can make you miserable. If you have a problem with the skin, especially a serious problem, it can be a source of continuous and enduring misery. Problems with this important organ are a condition in the fallen world. To my understanding, never before Leviticus chapter 13 is the condition called leprosy mentioned, but it is a serious condition that has to be dealt with. And this chapter is pretty extensive regarding the issue. Sometimes Leviticus can be like reading the rule book of a game, and that can be somewhat tedious, but we can gain some important information from these things. And our intention in this podcast is to cover the entire Bible. And there are some parts that can be difficult to get through. So we're working on this book of Leviticus, and we will soon be getting back to the book of Luke. So going into leprosy, it is a condition that separated a person from other people. It was an uncleanness that kept a person out of congregational life, and it was utterly life-changing. If you had lived a normal life before, as could be considered normal, after your life was irreparably changed, you would be separated from the people you loved. You would live outside the camp. And if you came near, you had to announce yourself because leprosy was contagious. Leviticus 13 is the first mention of leprosy in the Bible anywhere. The chapter gives guidelines for diagnosing the disease and includes guidelines as to conditions that are not leprosy. The priests were the ones who had to examine a person to determine whether they were leprous. When the disease was diagnosed, they were determined to be unclean. This included a swelling or eruption of a spot going deeper than the skin and white hair in the midst of that eruption. If the spot was not deeper than the skin and the hair was not white, the person was to be quarantined for 7 days and re-examined in the seventh day. If the spots did not spread in that time, a person was to be quarantined, specifically shut up in a room, another 7 days, and then examined. If the spots were then cleared, the person could be declared clean. The person was to wash his clothes. If the eruption continued to spread and the priest discovered that it had spread, it was considered to be leprous. At that point, he was not to be shut up or quarantined. I am supposing then that the person would then be sent outside the camp. A person was considered leprous when there was a white swelling in the skin with white hair and raw flesh in the swelling. At that point, the person was unclean, but was not to be shut up in a room. The next guideline says that if leprous disease broke out in the skin, covered the person from head to foot, and had turned white, the person was considered clean. But if there was any raw flesh on the person was unclean. So I am supposing then that it was the rawness that was the problem, that was an indication of fresh disease, and that's what made a person unclean. Boils deeper than the flesh with raw skin and hair that had turned white was leprous. If there was no white hair, the person was to be quarantined and checked after 7 days to see if it had spread. If it had not spread, at recheck, the person was clean. A burn was to be examined for raw flesh that turned white or reddish white with white hair in the spot. If those conditions were present, it was leprosy. If the spot faded, the person was to be quarantined 7 days and re-examined on the seventh. Spreading disease was considered unclean. If the burn faded, after that time, the person was considered clean and the blemish was a scar. A person with disease on the scalp or beard with a deep sore and hair that was yellow and thin was considered to be leprous. The text calls it an itch. The person was to be shut up for 7 days, and if the itch had not spread and the hair was not yellow and the disease no deeper than the skin, the person could shave and would be shut up another 7 days and re-examined. If it had not spread and was no deeper than the skin, the person was clean, and that person should wash his or her clothes. If the itch continued to spread after the cleansing, the person was considered unclean. If the itch had not spread and black hair had grown in the itch, it was considered to be healed and the person was to be pronounced clean. Dull white spots of the skin were considered to be a leucoderma, which is a modern word used in the English Standard Translation. The person with this condition was considered clean. Leucoderma is also called vitiligo. It is simply white spots on the skin where there is no skin coloring. This is how the King James Version describes the condition described in Leviticus chapter 13, verse 39. Then the priest shall look and behold if the bright spots in the skin of their flesh be darkish white, it is a freckled spot that groweth in the skin, he is clean. bald people were considered clean, but if there was reddish-white disease area breaking out, it was leprosy, and the priest was to announce him as unclean. As a fair warning to those who did not have the disease being around those who did have it, those who were diseased had to announce it. Verse 45, the leprous person who has the disease shall wear torn clothes and let the hair of his head hang loose, and he shall cover his upper lip and cry out, unclean, unclean. As long as the person was unclean, they were to live alone outside the camp. Garments could contain the disease, and it would appear greenish or reddish in a garment. If it continued to spread in the garment over 7 days after being shut up, it was unclean and was to be burned. Leprosy was a bacteria, and those conditions were a sign of it on an article of clothing. If the diseased area faded after washing, the affected area was to be torn out, but if disease spread after tearing out the rot, the garment was to be burned. If the disease was gone after a second washing, the garment could be considered clean. I suppose that most of us wouldn't chance something like that, but perhaps that was a treatment reserved for a person's favorite fur. Or if we're talking about something that was woven, there was a lot of work that went into that, and a person might want to avoid completely throwing all their work away. And just so you understand, there's this business where it talks about the warp or the woof. The warp, or also it can be called the weft, okay? The weft or the woof are the crosswise threads on a loom over and under which the shuttle would pass to make cloth. So the woof is the crosswise parts, and the warp would be the over and under parts that are passed through those crosswise parts to make a cloth. So that explains what the warp and the woof is. So I could see if someone had put in a huge amount of work on something and it was starting to pick up this bacteria, that they would want to save as much of it as they could. And some of those garments could be very valuable. I actually found one of the most helpful articles in understanding the disease of leprosy from Britannica.com. The article is by June Nash and Susanna Kearns. It was a chronic infectious disease that affected the skin and nerves of the body outside the brain and spinal cord, as well as the mucous membranes of the nose, throat, and eyes. A person could lose sensation and his or her skin would degenerate, leading a person to become deformed. It was caused by a rod-shaped bacteria apparently related to tuberculosis, and there was a great dread surrounding any time someone came down with leprosy. The disease actually was not highly infectious, and in this day and age, it is curable with a number of effective drugs and has decreased by 90% since the 1990s. It is transmitted by a person through prolonged close contact. And if you didn't know this, armadillos and mice are carriers. In recent years, you may have heard more that armadillos are carriers. They live in the American South. They are to be found in Florida. I believe that I saw one in Florida one time. And of course, mice are very common, so you can see where they would be a carrier. 95% of people are not even susceptible to leprosy. And even though exposed, many people will not even develop the disease. In fact, most early patients that do not develop chronic leprosy will self-heal. And it seems to have about a 3 to 5 year incubation period. It's thought that soldiers in the ancient world carried it broadly across the continents. In medieval times, it was considered punishment for sins, and in some churches, separate areas were developed with a narrow slot called a leper's window so the person could participate in the mass without infecting others. It was identified by
Dr. Hansen in Norway in 1873 as a bacillus and later called Hansen's disease, which was intended to take away some of the stigma of having it. The great blessing in modern times is that it is curable. So most of that information I derived from that article from Britannica.com. It was actually very helpful, had a lot of interesting information about the disease in it. So have you ever been near someone that had something contagious, something that could be spread? Perhaps you shut yourself away from them or required them to shut themselves away from you. Perhaps it was COVID or flu or a cold. I know a lot of people were very afraid when COVID was going around and didn't want to be near anyone that had it. There really are contagious conditions that can be chronic and diseases that when contracted can be a real stigma. These are things that will not go away. Consider the advent of HIV. In its early years, I think people were more afraid of the disease, but once it became treatable, it became more of a chronic condition that could be dealt with, and the fear of imminent death was taken away. Before that time, there were a number of innocents who contracted the disease through blood transfusions, including people like Amy Sloan and Ryan White. When a person contracts any kind of disease or illness, there may be a question of why is this happening? Some diseases may be the result of human decisions, even sinful decisions, such as sexually transmitted diseases, and others, a person can live well and still contract a devastating illness. Reflecting back on the Isenheim altarpiece, we may remember that the crucified Christ in the painting was covered in sores, a reminder to all who were being cared for by the monks, whether their condition was curable or incurable, that they had a Savior who had suffered terribly and taken on all the sins of the world. Jesus came to take away sin, but ultimately the resurrected person would be free of sin, death, and all disease. And when you think about when Christ dealt even with the leprous person, he touched them and drew the disease out of them. Jesus, he takes on all sin upon himself. And once the disease is drawn out, the person is clean. The resurrected Christ in the painting, in the Isenheim altarpiece, would have given hope to those who faced the end of their days, that those who looked to Christ would one day be free in every way. Not because they looked at the altarpiece, but because they placed their hope in Christ. And the altarpiece was a reminder of that. Christ came into the world to free us from sin, death, and the devil. But what he will one day and finally do is make all things new in him. Will you pray with me? Dear Lord Jesus, author of the creation and great physician, heal our bodies, minds, and souls of all things which afflict us. We commend ourselves to your care, Lord Jesus, and pray for your divine healing. And we pray these things according to your will. Whether we live or die, Lord, we know that we belong to you. And so we keep our hearts and minds upon you, now and forever. Amen. We continue with additional prayers. Lord Heavenly Father, we pray for the leaders of our nation, that they would make good decisions and that people around the world would seek to know you and find peace and goodwill in you. We pray that through your Son, you would bring peace throughout the world. Lord, we pray that you'd be with people suffering from afflictions everywhere. Look upon them with your mercy and bring them healing and restoration. We pray all these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you. Amen. Our special verse this week comes from 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. All of our verses, all of our scriptures, come from the English Standard Version of Scripture.
Is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch are keeping? This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste to bring him blood, the babe, the son of Mary, the babe, the son of Mary. Why lies he in such mean estate, where ox and ass are feeding? Could Christian feed for sinners here the silent word? Him through the cross be born for me and you. Hail, hail the Word made flesh, the babe, the Son of Mary. So bring him incense, gold and myrrh, a peasant king to own. Salvation brings, let loving hearts enthrone him. Raise the song on high, the virgin sings her lullaby. Joy, joy, for Christ is born.